Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good to have you on board. Good to be back. Thanks so much for joining us for The Hump Show, live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We're asking you your favorite signs that spring is on the way. Maybe it hasn't completely sprung, but it is on the way. And one of them, I don't know if it's my favorite, it's my least favorite, coming up this weekend when we actually have to spring forward. We turn the clocks forward and lose an hour of sleep. Do you know, for years and years, the first 80% of my career, I had to work weekends. And that usually involved Saturday nights when we were putting the clocks forward or back. That was actually worse when you were working Saturdays. What are your favorite signs of spring? Lots of you weighing in on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And while you're there, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Both of those at the top of our Facebook page. Also on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Good to hear from you. We'll get back to your responses and maybe take some calls. 855-212-4CBS. But first, we want to talk about what's happening with these Boston Celtics, but also about the rest of the Eastern Conference. And to do that, we welcome a familiar voice.
Kemba at half court, 9 of the shot clock. Gets a Robert Williams screen, steps into a left side three, got it.
Did it with a shot block in front of him.
Well, hasn't played in a month, but it's still the fourth quarter, 18 for Kemba.
Kemba Walker returning on a limited basis on Tuesday night. It was not enough. No Jason Tatum on his birthday. He was ill. Gordon Hayward left early. They were missing some peeps. Let's welcome Sean Grandy, who along with Cedric Maxwell makes up the Boston Celtics network radio team. Well, this was a painful loss to be sure. Maybe one of the worst in the Brad Stevens era. Sean, what the heck happened after the Celtics were up on the Nets by nearly 20 at the end of the third?
Well, this is one of these, listen, it's calamitous. When you lose a game the way the Celtics lost on Tuesday night, that's a calamitous loss no matter what. In the big picture, and it really where it hurts you in the standings, because the Celtics were in a tooth and nail battle and trying to chase Toronto. They had a chance to move into second in the East, and now all of a sudden they're a game and a half back because Toronto ended up coming back and winning their game too. So these are the things that are going to hurt you at the end. In the big picture, you say, wow, what can a team like that be a serious title threat like people were talking about a couple of weeks ago with the Celtics? And then you realize that as that game unfolded, you had Kemba Walker on a minute restriction who couldn't play. Jason Tatum didn't play Tuesday night. Gordon Hayward missed the second half. Jaylen Brown missed overtime. Marcus Smart fouled out. So I think what we learned was that the Celtics' third unit is not going to be able to win a lot of games in the NBA, and it took one of the two or three greatest performances in TD Garden history on the other side from Caris LeVert,
right,
you know, to make all that happen. So there's no way to whitewash. You lose a 21-point lead at home. You're up by 17 in the fourth quarter. I think the Celtics in franchise history were something like 731-3 when leading by 17 going to the fourth quarter. So it's calamitous in all those ways. The Celtics were 23-0 this year when leading by 16 and now lost two in a row because they were up by 17 against Houston on Saturday night. So I think it's a game that really hurts you in the standings. Is it one of those things that emotionally sticks with you? It's tough when you're basically down four or five of your top six guys.
Caris LeVert with a career-high 51, actually just three shy of the franchise record held by Kyrie Irving, and does this in Boston. And as you say, they were down a bunch of guys. What did Brad Stevens try on defense against Caris in the fourth quarter in overtime?
Nothing that worked. You just try different guys. Some guys just get in a crazy zone and they get hot. One of the things that will haunt the Celtics was the final seconds of the game, in which you have a situation where you have to foul when the ball comes in bounds, and so many guys converged on LeVert, nobody fouled right away. And by the time Marcus Smart reached out and gave the foul, the officials decided he was in a shooting motion. You could argue that, but again, that hesitation cost the Celtics, who were in almost an identical spot, in the Houston game the other night. And Caris LeVert, who had missed some free throws at one point, Caris LeVert, this is how crazy a night he was having. He was 5 of 8 from three and 5 of 8 from the free throw line until he hit the three at the end. But sometimes it's just your night, and this is going to be, it was an epic collapse at some level, but also years from now, this is going to be the Caris LeVert game. The same way, a few years ago, that was the second highest total. That's the most points ever scored by a visiting player at TD Garden in a win, ever.
Wow.
And the building is 25 years old. Devin Booker had that super asterisk 70-point game here a couple of years ago when, Phoenix got crushed. But that's a great win. The Nets just do that to you. Even when the Celtics were up by 20.
They do.
Cedric Maxwell and I were talking about how uncomfortable it is because the Celtics don't have nearly a full complement of players, all these minute restrictions, trying to manage things on the front end of a back-to-back. But the Nets just, if you aren't prepared, if you give the Nets any little window of opportunity, they're going to take it. That's been a staple of them under Kenny Atkinson.
I was going to say, it's really good coaching. Sean Grandy, the voice of the Boston Celtics on the radio network with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Which of the injuries with the Celtics, Gordon Hayward left Tuesday night's game, Kemba Walker just coming back, but you mentioned some other guys. Which are the injuries that fans should be concerned about?
I don't think there's anything really serious right now. Kemba Walker, Kemba Walker, and I think the one that really sticks in fans' craws here is that it happened in the All-Star game. Like, Kemba Walker was fine going to the All-Star game, and then Nick Nurse, the coach of the Raptors, it was bad optics. He's the coach that ends up playing Kemba a lot of minutes,
right.
And Kemba hadn't played until Tuesday night. He had missed 2.5 weeks. And what's amazing is that the Celtics went against a brutal schedule. The Celtics won a bunch of those, all that entire West Coast trip where everyone was talking about the Celtics and Jason Tatum, where they almost beat the Lakers and then beat Minnesota, Portland, and Utah all by double figures. That's a pretty impressive road trip, and had a 17-point lead on the Rockets. And they did all that without Kemba Walker. So, Kemba, I think, will work his way back to full minutes. He'll be fine. The Gordon Hayward thing was just a contusion that happened in the first half. Jaylen Brown was just kind of needed to be stretched out. I think there are no long-term or even medium-term concerns for the Celtics. The concern for the Celtics is that they've got a game in about, 16, 17 hours in Cleveland, and there is no earthly idea how many players are going to play because Marcus Smart could be staring at a suspension for going after the officials after the game was over. So the lineup that the Celtics tried to hold that lead with Robert Williams and Javante Green and Carson Edwards and some of the 9th, 10th, 12th, 13th guys on the roster, that's going to be the team that may have to win them a game tomorrow night in Cleveland.
Jason Tatum celebrates his 22nd birthday with an illness. Nothing extremely serious, though we don't know whether or not he'll play against Cleveland. He has certainly taken the NBA by storm. Lots of buzz about Jason Tatum. And he is young, only 22, as we talk about, Sean. What have you seen from him recently in this explosion?
Well, an awful lot. The world has seen it, and I think it's what we thought Jason Tatum could be. I think what is striking is how fast it happened, particularly when 6 weeks ago you could make a legitimate intellectual argument, if you were of the mind, that Jason Tatum was the fourth best player on the Celtics. And over the last couple of weeks, people are talking about how he might be one of the four best players in the league right now. And that happens when everything when it snaps into place, it snaps into place. And he had a lot of adjustments coming off of last year when his shots selection was really awful, taking a lot of long twos. And the first part of this year, he was inefficient. You could see he'd have big nights, but there was an inefficiency to his game because he was thinking about it. And what happened almost overnight was that half-second delay in the thought process, it just disappeared. And the one thing that nobody talks about because, it's not sexy, but Jason Tatum's defense and the length that he and Jaylen Brown bring to the floor. The reason Jason Tatum is sixth in the NBA in plus-minus is because his defense has been so good, even when he was struggling to get his rhythm offensively. Mm. Now it has all clicked in, and he legitimately is giving the Celtic fans hope that maybe they have. He's played at a level the last month and a half where you could legitimately say this is the next guy. I mean, this is the next guy to carry the torch.
Sean Grandy of the Celtics Radio Network with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. When you look at the balance of power in the East, and you and I seem to have this conversation about this time every year about the East and about how wide open it is. There's obviously Milwaukee that's putting together this incredible run this year. Toronto, as you talk about, could be had. How does Boston perform against the elite of the East?
They've had a good year against them, and I think everyone, I mean, the asterisk I put on is that you talk to people, it's not just in Boston, in Toronto or Philadelphia or wherever, everybody kind of says the same thing about Milwaukee, not necessarily on the air, but everyone is like, well, you know what, I think we can get them. I think we can get, you know what, show me. You just indicated it, and I don't think it gets said nearly enough. The Bucks are having as good a season as anyone has ever had. Not like, well, they might be the best team this year. They're one of the best teams ever to this point. And these are teams that win the championship. Teams that play like this in the regular season win the championship. Not once in a while. They win the championship. So anything could happen, and, you know, Giannis could slip on a banana peel, and, you know, history can change that way. We've seen that happen before. But it's insane. And I mean insane, Amy, to think that a 52-9 team could be underrated, but they are.
52-9.
People just aren't. The outscoring teams by 13 a game. Mm. It's insane what they're accomplishing here. All that said, one of the things that's happening for Boston and Toronto, and it's, you know, a night like Tuesday really hurts the Celtics in this regard. If you had said at the start of the year, if we were having this conversation in October, you'd say it's Milwaukee and Philadelphia. And the idea that Boston and Toronto could avoid both of those teams on their way to a potential conference finals for one of them, that was inconceivable. But what's happening here is that Philadelphia is starting to lock themselves into maybe that bright. In fact, they're losing so much, they can end up playing in the 3-6. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they'll probably end up in that 4-5 and get back in front of Indiana once they get off this road trip. But the idea that Philly could end up 4-5, let alone 6, was just off the radar. And that you're Boston and Toronto, you knew you might win a round in the playoffs, but you were going to have to play one of those two in the second round. And now the way it's lining up, these other teams in the East would be thrilled if Philly and Milwaukee lined up against each other in the second round.
Right, Philadelphia down to the sixth spot, taking on the Lakers tonight. They gave up a big lead early and more of the same. And I'm glad you brought it up because I actually wanted to ask you, why do you think Al Horford is not a good fit there? He's even said he's not a good fit, but you saw him for a bunch of years in Boston.
Well, I think it starts with a bad fit when you realize, listen, there are 25, 26 teams in the league that would, in a heartbeat, drop their top two guys to take Simmons and Embiid because their talent level is so crazy off the chart. But that doesn't mean that they fit together. And when you start with that not fitting together, you're trying to add pieces to a Jenga pile, right, that's already not quite balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought would be that, you know, he could spread the floor, that Al could spread the floor, but... And Al was excited about the idea of going back to the power forward spot, but that's not the way the game is played anymore. You don't play with a true power forward and a true center. Embiid's one of the few true centers there are, and he wants to go out and shoot threes. So it's not a matter. There's just not enough room for bigs that spread the floor. They don't really fit together. And you put Horford on that second unit, and you know how many minutes you're going to play with Ben Simmons. And I think there's the other element that you can't expect. When the Nets made the trade and they got Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, and they thought they were going to make a run at the Eastern Conference Finals, they weren't getting 2008 Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. They were getting 2013 Pierce and Garnett. And Al, I think, is destined to be an underrated player for just how good he was in Boston, how good he was in Atlanta, and just, you know, very, very good player. But the reality is he's played a lot of minutes. At his age, he came in the league in 2007, so 13 years in. He's played some, you know, heavy-duty, power-forward center minutes the last couple of years, so you wonder about sort of a natural regression at that age, which is why the Celtics, you know, 4 years at that money was a lot.
Sure.
And I would say if there are locker room issues in Philly, I would say this. There's no better guy in some ways than Al Horford from a locker room standpoint. And it's funny that he would end up in these two potentially toxic situations in back-to-back years. Al is the least toxic teammate you could ever have, but he is not the cure for toxicity that does exist. He's not going to be the guy that puts out a locker room fire. So if there is one in Philadelphia, as there was last year in Boston, he's not going to solve that. You know, he's going to lead by example, not by, you know, fixing problems that may already be there.
How is the Celtics locker room now, post Kyrie and post Al?
Well, that's a loaded question in some ways, because you try to, as a lifelong contrarian, as you know I am, maybe you get tired of the Kyrie narrative and everything was Kyrie's fault and whatever. But, you know, Kyrie got too much of the blame. He got too much of, but all this stuff is real. This is not an accident that the Celtics, all fans wanted. They just could not literally wait to drive him to the airport. It was so ugly by the end of last year, and how he emotionally sort of quit on the team and on the franchise and all these different things. And he's, you know, an extremely talented player. You know, he's gifted. I think he's sort of a misunderstood and a complicated guy in a lot of ways. But you can't – there's no way to hide the fact that Kyrie leaves and the Celtics not only have a happier locker room and it's much more of a, you know, a team like you'd want to root for. The fact that all Celtic fans wanted was a team they could root for again. And then you got one that's even better than last year, too. That wasn't really part of the expectation. So a lot of ifs.
Yeah. I think now that's the deal with Kyrie, is my expectation level has dropped way down in terms of the number of games he will give you, but also looking at the track record, you know, I just had to lower my expectations for him. You can find Sean on Twitter at Sean Grandy, PBP, voice of the Celtics, and he's got a couple of other fun roles on his Twitter, like Dana's husband for the last 5 months. I love that.
There's a lot going on I didn't have to deal with before.
It is, but I know you're very happy, and I'm happy for you, Sean.
We appreciate it, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.